Okay, so once again, we're going to return to the hitting of the stone. Hitting of the stone, something which many educators identify with. Vayavo bnei Yisrael kol ha'eda midbar Tzin v'chodesh harishon v'yeshev ha'am b'kadesh. And the entire community came in the first month to this place which is called Kadesh. And I do think that the location would make a very big difference in terms of understanding what exactly it is that transpired. So just for example, if Kadesh is really, really far down in the middle of the desert and there's no water source any place to be found that, you know, may put things in one direction. If, on the other hand, if it's further north and there are all kinds of streams which come down in that area and there are water sources, then obviously it would make a difference. So it says, Vatamat Sham Miriam Vatikaber Sham, and Miriam passed away and she was buried there. Continues, V'lo yamayim la'eda, v'yikolu al Moshev al Aron. And the people had no water to drink. So now that's a statement. That's objective. There was no water. Now the question is how far one would need to travel or what one need to do or if one could possibly dig, which means the location and the qualities of the place would make a big difference in understanding. And maybe part of the solution is, okay, we need to move. We need to get away from this place. Vayarev am im Moshe, nonetheless, the people, they quarreled with Moshe, vayomru lemar, they said to him, saying, v'luga vanu b'gvei achinu lefnei Hashem, had we only died already. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. V'lama hevetim et kala Hashem el midbar hazeh, and why did you bring these people of God to this desert? By the way, note that they say lefnei Hashem in Pasuk Gimel, in front of God, and over here, the people of God, in Pasuk Dalet, so therefore God is on their lips. You could decide if it's a good way or bad way. You could decide if this is an expression of people who have great faith or perhaps not. But why do you take us there? Lamut sham anachnu b'yireinu. Why do you take us there to die, us and our flock? V'lam ha'alitunu mimitzrayim lavi otonu makom ha'razeh. Why did you take us out? And I want to stress that, because they spoke about God in the other verses, and why did you take us out? So they didn't accuse God of taking them out. Elamakoma Rahazet, this terrible place. Lomakom Zeru Tinava Gefen Rimono Mayim Ayin Lashtot. It's not a place, essentially, it's not the land of Israel and there is no water. Voyevo Moshev Aram Bnei Akahala Patecho Maud Viplua Pneim. Vayera Kavod Hashem Aleihim. Okay, they go and they fall and God appears. Vedeber Hashem Moshe Lemur, God speaks. Kach etamate, take the staff. Vakahela Ta'ida Atavaron Achicha. You and Aaron, your brother, gather the people. Vidibartam el hasela, and you should speak to the stone, la'inehem, in front of their eyes, v'natan meimav, and it will give its water. It will yield and provide water. Votzeite la'mayim min hasela v'hishkita et ha'eda v'et bi'iram, and take water out of the rock and give them to drink and give their animals to drink. So therefore, you know, like Rivka of old, providing water for the people and for the animals, and later on, like Yaakov over here, God says to Moshe, you know, an hour, and you could do the same thing, and you can get water out of a rock. It's not exactly the same thing as a be'er. You can get it out of a rock, and part of the problem is, why did he tell him to take the mateh if all that he wanted him to do was to speak to the rock? V'yikach Moshe et hamateh milufnei Hashem kasher tzivau. And Moshe took the staff from in front of God. That may help identify which staff it was. Kasher tzivau, which means as he was commanded. So till this point, Moshe is, we're told, clearly, he obeyed the orders. V'ikalu Moshe v'Aaron el hakahal el pnei hasela. And then they gathered the people in front of the stone, the rock, v'yomer lahem, and v'yomer is in the singular, so one of them says, presumably it's Moshe, says, Shimuna hamarim, listen you rebels, from this rock will we be able to, or will we extract water? Vayar Moshe et yado, Moshe lifts his hand, vayachet asela b'mateu pamayim, and he hits the rock with the staff twice. Vayetzeu mayim, and it's successful, water comes out. Vayetzeu mayim rabim, and a great deal of water comes out. And it's successful because the people and the animals drink. So if we didn't know any better, then we would suspect that everything worked out exactly the way that it was supposed to work out. You know, Chazal give us a little bit more of a background, and they claim that it was the death of Miriam which stops the water. The name Miriam, or the word Miriam, has Mayim in it. And Miriam's life does have a number of aspects of water to it, where one, famously, she will not turn her back on Moshe, who's put in the water, and then she saves him with the whole conversation with the daughter of Paro. And later on, after the sea is split, we find Miriam singing and taking the tambourines and so on and so forth. So the connection of Miriam with water seems to be one which is well established. So Chazal go one step further and say the whole time she was there, Bishut Miriam, there was this be'er, this water which traveled with them, and now when she dies, that's why there's no water to drink. But as I said, it sounds like everything worked out. The people, it's not nice to say, the people are annoying. The people are giving all the credit to God and all the blame on Moshe, which I guess, you know, there's something which is okay with that, but they're essentially complaining that they are where they are and they're not where they should be. And but it's on top of that, they speak of death. You know, had we only died already, and we're going to die over here. So death is very much on their mind. But as I said, everything seems to be averted because it all works out. Nonetheless, Vayomar Hashem El Moshe Bel Aaron, Yan Lohim Antem Bila Hakdisheni, because you had a lack of belief in me to sanctify me, Le'enei B'nei Yisrael, in front of the eyes of the people. If you note back when God gave his instructions in Pasuk Chet, it says, Dibartem El Asela Le'eneihem, do this in front of their eyes. And over here it says that you did not have sufficient, if you want to say, emunah's faith, and to sanctify me in front of their eyes of B'nai Yisrael, L'chein, lo taviyu et ha'kal hazeh el aretz asher natati lahem. Therefore, you are not going to be able to lead these people into the land which I am giving them. So therefore, you know, the people complain we don't have the land. Moshe and Aaron provide with what they need, albeit it could be that they didn't do it with precision the way that God said it. Nonetheless, everything seems to have worked out, and God says no. Hema mei meriva asher rovu b'nei Yisrael et Hashem. But again, the way it frames it, this was the mei meriva, the waters of strife, the waters of, if you want, of rebellion, where they quarreled, worlds of quarreling water, ravu b'nei Yisrael et Hashem, where the people quarreled with God, v'kadesh bam. And nonetheless, it's something was sanctified there, even though what they were accused of is that things didn't get sanctified the way that it should. So I'm going to say it again, the whole thing is really quite confusing. The Ramban, and this is a very long Ramban, which I cut out lots and lots of it in source number 2, the Ramban tells us, Hachet b'moshe v'aron b'mei meriva einu mitparsem b'katuv. What it was that they did wrong is not in the text. So essentially, for all commentaries and commentators who have been breaking their heads trying to figure out and read the words carefully and say what exactly went wrong, the Ramban says, yeah, it's not there. You're not going to find it. By the way, he says something almost identical when he speaks about creation. He says creation cannot be understood from the verses. There are certain things which are written there, so anybody trying to reconcile the exact biblical account with tradition, that's very important, the Ramban is saying, well, our tradition is not exactly to be understood from the textual account, and there, we need a Torah Shebaal Peh, we need a mystical tradition to understand what's going on. And the Ramban says the same thing over here. This thing which we don't understand, why exactly the punishment is so severe, why exactly Moshe and Aaron can't lead the people into the land of Israel, what exactly did they do wrong, where God said, speak to the rock, take the staff, speak to the rock, and they spoke, and they hit the rock. So what happened over here? So the Ramban is saying the text did not, I'll read it again. Hachet b'moshe v'aron b'mei meriva einu mitparsem b'katuv. It is not told. It's not publicized from the text itself, which means there really is something else over here, which of course now gives license to anybody to say anything they want, because once there's something which is not clear. For example, we've seen before, we've seen in the past, that there are those who argue that the real reason that Moshe and Aaron aren't going in is there is different reasons. The real reason Moshe is not going to go in is because he sent the spies. The real reason Aaron is not going to go in is because of the Chet HaEgel. Because if you think about it, those were two sins that had far more, shall we say, severe repercussions. So that could make a little bit more sense. And one, Moshe has the central responsibility. The other one, Aaron, has the central responsibility. So maybe it's just easier to say that. And maybe the Torah didn't want to tell us, lo mitparsem bekatuv. It's interesting. The Torah didn't publicize what it was. So maybe it's there and it didn't publicize. I'm going to say it again. You can now read this Ramban and you can fill in any kind of gaps that you want. He then goes and tells us that Rashi explains, that Rashi is going to say that is because God said to speak to the rock and not to hit the rock. That had they spoken, then God would have been sanctified. Then people could have said, hold it, if a rock is going to obey God, then certainly we should be obeying God. And the Ramban essentially says, that's a very nice midrash, which is a way of not embracing it. Although it's not clear, and essentially saying it doesn't make any sense. Kimi because let's be honest, once God said to take the staff, then the implication is that you should use it and to hit with it. Which means God would not say to take the staff if there's no reason to take it. And if God only wanted words to be spoken, then why in the world did he say to bring the staff? And there were a number of times where God says, take the staff, and that was to use it, to hit with it. And he goes, can we be honest? It's not any bigger of a miracle if you speak as opposed to hitting. Ki hakol shaveh. Ki hakol shaveh etzo hasela. Because when you're a rock, does it really make a difference if somebody hit you or if somebody spoke to you? It's all the same. And he then will raise more problems. As you see, the Ramban over here does not like. And he goes on to attack other commentaries. V'ta'anot rabot l'mefarshim b'chet hazeh. Kvar satar bo Rabbi Avram dvarim rabim mehem. And he goes, if you want to take a look at the Ibn Ezra already sidetracked many of the commentaries who tried to suggest things. But then he writes, "Vasod shoramazmo gamhu einu nachon," and even the secret that the Ibn Ezra tried to hint towards, that's also not correct. The karov min advarim shenamru bazeh, and the closest thing among those that have been said about this, vuhu tov l'dchot hashoel, and it's fascinating because he's not willing to tell you this is the real explanation. He goes, and it's enough to push aside the questioner, which means it'll answer enough that you won't be troubled. When they say, or Moshe says, that from this rock will we take out water? And the problem then is actually that they did not include God within this. Had they, which by the way leads me to really what I want to get to, which is not really what I want to get to, but what I want to get to initially, and that is what were they supposed to do? Which means if they were wrong, okay, but what were they wrong about? What is it that they were supposed to do when God says, take the staff, go over, and again, you can just go back and read the words again, and speak to the rock. Well, they spoke. So what did they do wrong? Well, we can now, first thing we can decide is, did they actually speak to the rock or did they speak to the people? If you read carefully, it never says they spoke to the people. And what does it say that they did instead? It says, right, by the way, sorry, the verse before. Vayomer lahem, he says to them, Shim'u na hamorim. Now again, calling them rebels is a problem. Hamin hasela hazenotzi lachemayim, that from this rock can we extract water. So now, reading that carefully, first of all, God is not there at all. Secondly, they're not talking to the rock, they're talking to the people. Thirdly, instead of speaking nicely to the people, they're calling them rebels. And maybe that's justified. I mean, God afterwards calls this, these are the people that quarrel. Nonetheless, the Ramban is saying, well, the closest thing over here is that they said the wrong thing. And instead of saying, Hamin asela zenotzi lechamayim, ra'ui shem yomru, yotzi Hashem lechamayim. God will take out water for you. And by the way, I just want to pause because I'm not 100% convinced with this, because what is it that God said to them that they're supposed to do? V'dibartim el hasela. So over here it says, Roshimu yotzi Hashem lachemayim, that's addressing the people. So listen, I don't want to pick on the Ramban after he picked on everybody else, but it sounds instead that they should have said to the rock, and now I'm making this up a little bit, it said rock, and all the people, you know, watch or listen, all the people watch what's going on. Rock, God said that you should take care of his people. Please give water to the people. And that should have been what it was. By the way, that doesn't answer why he has to take the staff with him. But that's why I'm just picking on the Ramban ever so slightly, because he's correcting what they should have said. Yotzi Hashem lachem mayim, but who's the lachem over here? Why is he speaking to the people and not speaking to the rock? And he continues, says, V'chem b'chol nisim yudu'im ki Hashem yaseh imam lafli, v'ulay chashvu ha'am ki Moshe v'Aaron b'chach matano tziyolei mayim min haseh lazeh. Maybe the people think that Moshe and Aaron did this instead of God, because again, they did not include God in their statements. And by the way, I think that is part of the key to this, because again, that is part of what the Ran tells us, v'amet ki ha'inyan sod gadol misitrei ha'Torah. And the reality of what's going on over here is one of the great secrets of the Torah. But without knowing exactly what it is that the Ramban wants to or doesn't want to tell us over here, I will focus on the elements that we have to contend with, you know, the hitting versus the speaking, and if they're speaking, who should they be speaking to? And if they are speaking already, then what should be the content of that speaking? And then perhaps most importantly, when they do this, where is God within this entire process? If we were to look quickly at source number 6, the Psikta Rabati writes, Kachat HaMateh, Zeh Mateh Sheneseh Bo HaOtot, that is the same staff that all the miracles were done with, V'dibartim El Selenayim Tomru V'shmi Ko Amar Hashem Hotzi Mimecha, that say, in my name, please release your water. So that's actually, I think, much closer to what is really suggested when God says, speak to the rock and take out water, what they're supposed to say, Tomar V'shmi. If you look at source number 7, the Bechor Shor, what is it supposed to say? V'dibarim sela el pnei ha'sela tidabru el bnei Yisrael, le'inehem. Davar she'eh ne'erev ne'glad le'inehem. So it's interesting, because he now was going a little bit closer to what the Ramban said. Yeah, in front of the rock, you should speak to them. She'tamru she'ani noten lahem mayim, demo she'amar baman, hineni mamtir lachem lechem min ha'shamayim. The same way that by the man, Moshe makes this statement saying that God is giving you this bread from heaven, the same thing over here, that should have been a very clear statement that this water is providing, sorry, the rock is providing water because God has commanded this. Kimo ken tamru she'ani noten lahem mayim she'bezot yitkadesh shmi v'yodu ki me'iti yavo lahem mayim k'shebo lefnei ha'sela, and so on. Which means they should have said that God is giving the water from this rock. And now you do realize that God is absent from the story, and that could be part of what the response is that Moshe has towards them. The Tzei de la Derech in source number 3, he writes, Kol hamefreshim nitchabtu mahaya hachet shemoshe b'mei miriva. So now you see, this is a thing. A lot of the commentaries will then attack all the commentaries for giving all kinds of explanations. Ze omar b'ko v'ze omar b'ko, each one giving their own explanations. Ve'achve dat af ani v'omer, lefi sheyoda HaKadosh Baruch Hu, k'shehayu Yisrael meharirim mibilti yecholot Hashem lotzi yesh me'ayin. That the people had never seen a creation take place, and therefore God could not create something from nothing. And therefore God wants to show them that he can do something from nothing, something which is supernatural. Now this is really quite interesting. I guess there's a lot of things you need to add in to be able to give this kind of a comment over here. And first thing I have to say, it's the new generation that has not seen all kinds of miracles yet. But even though, as we keep on going back to, they do have mun every day. They need to see that God is doing this creation. You did not, and it wouldn't even be that you didn't believe in me, you did not provide belief, you did not give the people what they needed in order to give this extra relief. I will point out that my difficulty with this is only what we saw, you know, not that long ago, only last week, when Moshe is involved in the whole fight against Korach. He actually uses the word creation, and he says in source 4, Pasuk Lamed, Perek Tet Zayin, "V'im briya yivra Hashem upatzta ha'adama et piha." If God will make a creation and create something new and have the earth opened up its mouth. So the word creation is used, and to be clearer, there are different words that we use to describe something which is the handiwork of God. You can use the word yitzira, where something is formed, which is yesh me'esh, yesh me'esh, or you can use the term bria, which is yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. So for the Tzedek L'Derech to come and say, well, you know, where do we, these people needed this lesson that God can actually do yesh me'ayin and do a bria, yeah, and we saw it last week in terms of, I mean, for us it's last week, what exactly is the time frame is always interesting, but I'm just saying it seems to be, I think nonetheless it's interesting. Again, unless you want to say that is in fact a different generation. Now I want to move over to source number 9 for a second. Source number 9 is the Hebrew translation of the Targum Yonatan, or the Pseudo Targum Yonatan, and he's going to add a couple of things for us along the way. And as we do that, I'm hoping to get a little bit more insight into what is taking place. So we were just told the first month, it actually gave us a date. That's an interesting date, because that's the date that they were supposed to start gathering together the animals in order to do the Korban Pesach back in Egypt, now on this date. So really, it's a date of spiritual liberation. So is maybe that supposed to what's take place over here as well, to get ready and start collecting towards spiritual liberation. But Tamacha Miriam v'tikaber sham, v'tikaber sham el Moshe le'mor, we're skipping, you know, after the water problem. Kachat mateh hanisim, so to clarify which mateh it is, the one that the miracles were performed with. V'asof et ha'edah, atav aron achicha, v'tishbe'enu shneichem et ha'asela, and make the sela swear. It's very interesting, like make a vow over here. Bishem gadolim umifurash. So just in order, so what's going on? Use the name of God when you're standing over there, so therefore everyone's going to understand that it was God that provided this water to come out of the rock. But, and this is really interesting, because now it explains why you have to bring the staff. And if the rock doesn't comply, I don't even know what that means, if the rock doesn't comply. And as I said, before, anything that we say now, we go, oh, maybe that's what the Ramban was talking about. But if the rock doesn't comply, then hit it. Only you, Moshe, do it. And therefore, you should do it. And then, and everybody gathered together. Vayomer Moshe Shemuna Sarbanim Mordim, rebellious people, Amin Asela Ze Efshar Lenu Lotzei Lachem Mayim. So now you realize, according to what the Targum had said, that you needed to use the name of God, and the name of God was left out of this. Vayomer Moshe Et Yado V'Yikat Sela B'Mateu Shtei Pamim, it's twice. V'Pama Rishona Nataf Dam, and the first time blood started to pour out of the rock or trickle out of the rock. V'Pam Shnei Yatzu Mayim Rabim, and the second time it yielded and the water came out. Vayomer Hashem leMoshe l'Aron b'shvua. So then God made a vow, because they were supposed to make some kind of a vow in front of the rock. Then God made a vow. Tachet shelo emantem b'mamari l'ktisheni le'neim bnei Yisrael b'vorkein lo tovi et hakal hazeh la'aretz asher atein lahem. V'hema meim rivashu bnei Yisrael b'fnei Hashem al'inyan be'er shenignaza hit v'hitkadesh b'hem. So I'm not even going to explain any more, but all of that was interesting because, again, it's trying to explain the various elements in the story a little bit more. Now, I'm going to say something which to me is incredibly obvious, and it's what's going to take us now for the rest of everything that we do today is going to be informed by this comment. When I read the description over here where God says, take something in your hand, but apparently don't use the hand, that itself is a statement. Take something in your hand, but he's not telling him to use it. So then why take it? That was exactly the problem. Why take it? So now, what if I say, take it in order not to use it? I know that didn't make any sense yet. Take it, but don't use it. On the other hand, speak. So now, what's not clear yet is, and as I said again, it's very, very clear to me that there is a dichotomy which exists between the hand and between speech. And this is a dichotomy which we should be very, very familiar with. And if just in case, for whatever reason, this is something which we're not familiar with, look at source number 6. V'yigash Yaakov v'yitzchak aviv v'yimusheu v'yomer hakol kol Yaakov v'yidayin de'esav. So therefore, the division of the world between those who use force and those who use words is the division between Yaakov and Esav. So wouldn't that be interesting if God is saying, take the staff, bring it in your hand, but don't use it. Talk. So essentially, who are you going to be identifying with? Are you going to be identifying right now with Esav, or are you going to be identifying with Yaakov? And therefore, the use of force and hitting it, that becomes something which is problematic. Now, I hope that you realize, just by my saying this, that this opens up all kinds of other issues. The other thing is that I am going to do as we proceed is, just in case you think this is just my wild imagination getting the best of me, and this has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on in this parsha, in this section, I will either fortunately or unfortunately, depends on your perspective, I will convince you that this is the case over the next couple of minutes, that without any question, that this is part of what's taking place over here. But I still want to go back and now ask some other questions, and maybe this will take us back even to the Meraglim and that whole Netziv that we spent some time with, which means when they do the conquest, how is the conquest supposed to take place? Is the conquest supposed to take place by them going to war, a natural thing? We go to war, use strength, and that's how we capture the land? Or is it supposed to use words? So, by the way, just go back to the Vayihimen Tzar Aaron that Moshe said, right, when Aaron starts to travel, all the enemies run away, go away, go away. You have Moshe Rabbeinu. So the same way that Moshe could theoretically speak to a rock and water come out of a rock, Moshe can say to the enemies, okay, your time is up. Zmancha avar. Time to move on. We're home now. Please leave. This was all promised to Avraham. And I'm going to ask again, so what is supposed to happen next? And I hope you appreciate that this now becomes really the critical question, which means, did Moshe intuit at this particular point that what's supposed to happen next is that we need to use force, so therefore is this deliberate use of force over here, because the people need to go and go to war, and there are times to use force. And by the way, the other thing that we need to do, which is really quite obvious, and some of the commentaries note this, but I'm going to say it again, it really is quite obvious, that you need to compare this episode of water with the previous episode of water. In the previous episode of water, Moshe was told to take the staff and to hit it. So it's very interesting why then it's okay and why over here it wouldn't be okay. It's, as I said, all that is interesting. If you're going to tell me that now the conquest will take place and now you just need to speak, that I think does inform us in terms of what this sin was in a slightly different way. But I told you before that either this is just completely my imagination, or there's a little bit more over here that would cause us to start to think in this direction. Let's go back to the first source right after this happens and go to the very next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel ends the section of the Meriva. Hema Me Meriva. Asher ravu b'nei Yisrael at Hashem v'kadesh b'am. And what's the next pasuk? V'yishlach Moshe malachim mikadesh melech Edom. So look who just now shows up. Melech Edom over here. Ko amar achicha Yisrael. Now, you may not realize this, but this verse is extremely similar to another verse that we had seen before. But I'm going to wait with this because I first want to look at the content of what's being said over here. Ko amar achicha Yisrael. A Tayadata, it's kolat la'a asher matzatuni. You know all the things that we, all the situations we found ourselves in. All the complex things that we found ourselves in. Vayardu avotenu mitzrayma v'neshev b'mitzrayim yamim rabim v'yareu lanu mitzrayim v'lavotenu. Now, notice what he does. First of all, he says the message is, you know, we went down to Egypt and we were enslaved. This would be a great thing to say Seder night. You know, Uncle Esav is coming Seder night and he doesn't really know the story that well. Let's explain to him what took place. But then look what he adds in Pasuk Tet Zayin, because this is going to go very much if you're going to tell me, oh, that's just a coincidence, or maybe it's far more important. Vanitzak el Hashem, and we cried out to God. Now, what exactly does that vanitzak mean? I hope you all recognize it means that we prayed. We prayed with incredible need. Vanitzak el Hashem, v'yishma kolenu, and God heard our voices, God heard our prayers. So I'm going back to the dichotomy of the Yadayim of Esav and the Kol Yaakov. So over here, what does Moshe say right after the Meimariva? He says to Esav, listen to what he tells him over the Haggadah. I'm sorry, I can't avoid that. He tells him over the basic, concise idea of the God that we were enslaved and we prayed to God and God took us out. V'yishlach malach v'yotzienu mimitzrayim, and God sent an emissary and took us out of Egypt. V'nei anachnu b'kadesh ir k'tzei gvulecha, and here we are by Kadesh, which is the place which borders you. Now that's actually very interesting and important because it maybe gives us a little bit more information where Kadesh is. And the reason I'm saying this, it's not the middle of the desert anymore. It's much further north than maybe we would have thought because it's really at the border of where Esav is. Na'abra na ba'artzecha, please may we go past. Lo na'avor b'sadeh uvikerem, v'lo nishteme ba'er. We're not going to go in the sadeh, we're not going to go in the vineyard, we're not going to drink from your wells. Derech ha'melech nelech, lo naten yiminu smol ad asher na'avod gvulecha. And what's the response? V'yomar elav edom, lo tavar bi pen b'cherev etzei l'kotecha. I'm going to go out with my sword, with strength. Actually, where do we see Esav connected to the sword? Well, right after the Kol Yaakov and the Dayan Esav, when Yaakov took the blessing that was designed for Esav, we find that Esav then comes in and demands his own blessing. And at this point, Yitzchak says to him, among other things, he says, among other things, So you're going to live by your sword and you're going to serve your brother. And they're saying, we're not going to serve our brother, but they certainly are living by the sword. And I'm just saying that becomes a little bit more interesting when, again, one more time, than this dichotomy between using words versus using hands, or the Yadayim of Esav versus the Kol of Yaakov, because Moshe is very much and very explicitly telling over to Edom, which of course is Esav, that Am Yisrael is very much in touch with their ability of using the Kol, and we use the Kol, we use our voice, we use our prayers, and God responds to our prayers. And I'm going to say it again now. That would be an interesting thing in any context between Yaakov and Esav, Kol Yaakov and the Yadayim of Esav, but it is all the more interesting when God tells Moshe to use the Kol, and instead he uses the force, and hopefully now, I'm not going to say that I've convinced you completely, there's a bit more, but hopefully now you realize that this is not just some random thought that I had, that there is there's a bit more to it. But I do want to go back now to the Targum Yonatan, because he continues in source 14, although maybe there's one more thing I should show you first, and that will then become a little bit clearer. Yeah, look at source number 8 now. V'yishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav el Esav achiv eretz seir sedei Edom. And Yaakov sends malachim, and he says, kol tamun laduni Yaakov, and then he tells of the story. Im lavan garti v'acher ata yesh l'shor v'chamor. Now compare that. Okay, that was in Bereishit, when Yaakov comes back home. V'yishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav el Esav achiv. Now, el Esav achiv. Now read again source number 1 in Pasuk Yudalid v'yishlach Moshe malachim mekadesh ha-melech adom ko marachicha Yisrael. Which means that verse is far closer to that verse in Bereishit than you perhaps ever recognized before. And I'm not going to say that the content afterwards is exactly the same, because Yaakov, when he sends the emissaries, is very conciliatory, very much sets himself up as, I am your Eved, and so on, and hears things, and tries to give gifts. And Moshe is not conciliatory whatsoever right now. We'd like to pass through. Please give us permission. But it's not like, you know, we've wronged you in any way, we've done anything wrong, and so on. On the other hand, Esav does respond, and we're going to come to the sword, and I'm going to go back to this whole episode of Esav and the 400 men, and so on, and the whole tension between Yaakov and Esav. How can you not see that over here? It's not just that Edom was next, it's not just that Moshe's talking about the Kol Yaakov, it's that the verses are exactly reminiscent of what took place when, now just think about it a little bit clearer, when Yaakov went into exile, into Galut, and now comes back home to Eretz Yisrael, and now when Am Yisrael, like the microcosm, now the macrocosm, when Am Yisrael now went into Galut and want to come back to the land of Israel, and in order to go by, you have to meet up with Esav. Okay, that's, there needs to be a confrontation. And over there, the confrontation was one which, actually, there's a dual confrontation, the confrontation with Esav himself versus the confrontation with this Saroshel Esav, which I, by the way, I think is far more important in terms of this whole episode as well. Because essentially what I'm really saying is that if we want to understand what's taking place here, we now need to rethink everything which took place back over there in Bereshit and how that compares or contrasts with what is taking place over here when Am Yisrael is returning. But I do want to read something which... Well, first I'll make another observation. If you do a comparison between when Yaakov goes in to Yitzchak to get the blessing, which eventually, you know, takes us to where we are today, versus when Esav goes in, one of the differences is that Yitzchak says, how do you come so quickly? And Yaakov's answer is that God provided, which means the word of God is on his mouth over here, and I'm going to say it again. And now if you go back to the hitting of the rock, where it's not just that he hits the rock, it's that he says something, maybe to the right people, maybe to the wrong, maybe he's supposed to speak to Am Yisrael, maybe he's supposed to speak to the rock, but what's missing over there is God. And Yaakov's, part of Kol Yaakov, is to speak about God. It's not just to speak. It's not just using words. But it is the verbalization of God consciousness. I'll put it like that. But now, keeping all of this in mind, I do want to continue in the Targum Yonatan by Pasuk Yudalev, Vishlach Moshe Shlichim, Mirechem, El Melech Shel Adom, and Vayadul Avotem LeMitzrayim, and we were there, Pasuk Tetzayin. V'nitpalel, remember, he... Nitzak, very clearly, v'nitpalel, we pray lefnei Hashem, v'yishma tfilatenu, v'yishlach echad mimalchei asharet v'otzim v'mitzrayim. Next one, he said, let us go through your field. Na'avur nar ba'artzecha, lo nachmod bitulot, v'lo ne'enos arusot, v'lo niv'al nishei anashim. So if you want me to translate all that in English, this is completely fascinating that it's reading this into the text. And don't worry, we're not going to lust after your daughters, and we're not going to rape women who are engaged, and we're not going to sleep with married women. And now you have to think, you say, what? How in the world did this get into the text? Now, I know why it got into the text. I was very pleased to actually find somebody who noted why it was there as well, but it's fascinating what just now happened. So this actually is going to take us to a different place. And hopefully when we understand this other place, then things will become, as I said, a little bit clearer. Long ago, and maybe one of the first times that we find this connection between Yaakov and Esav is all the way back in Parshat Toldot, source 12. V'yitrotetzua banim b'kirba, v'tomen kein lama zanochi, v'telech udrosh et Hashem. By the way, right from the beginning, God is involved. V'yomer Hashem la, shnei goyim b'vitnech, u'shnei lumim b'meach yiparedu, which of course is this inside information that she has from the beginning, is that these two will not work together. They're going to go in different directions. She gives birth, she has two, one of them is all red, and that's why he's called Esav, and that's why he's going to be called Edom, and so on. Pasuk of Zayin. V'gidlu anarim, v'yi Esav ish yodei tzayid, ish sadeh. Esav is a man, he's a hunter, again a man who uses his hands. Later on, the Kol Yaakov and Nidayim Esav, it should not come as a surprise. V'yaakov ish tam yoshev ohalim. Yaakov is a more simple or complete person, a man of the tents, which may mean shepherd. V'yav Yitzchak et Esav kitzayid b'fiv, Rivka ohevet et Yaakov. V'yozed Yaakov nazid, v'yave Esav min hasadeh, v'hu ayef. Now, the important word over here is he comes in from the field, from the sadeh, and he's tired. And what I now want you to think about, which perhaps you never would have thought about, but we're already there today, so we have to realize this. How did our whole section begin? They get to this place, and I'm not going to say they're tired, but I will say they're thirsty. But not only are they thirsty, what else did they say? They say, we're just going to die. Why didn't we die already? And we're all going to die. And now go back and let's look how Esav speaks. It says, "Vayoma Esav Yaakov, Eliteni Namin Adom Hadom Azeh, Ki Ayef Anochi Akin Kurashmo Adom." Give me something to eat. "Vayoma Yaakov Mechura Kiyom Et Bichor Tchali, Vayoma Esav Hinei Nochi Olech Lamut, V'lama Zeh Li Bichora." Esav says, "But I'm going to die." So Am Yisrael now coming out, looking for water, having this extreme need. I'm sorry for saying this, because it's really terrible and judgmental what I'm doing. And what I'm saying is that what takes place over here is it's a need, but the need turns into an obsession. When somebody says, "I'm going to die," you know, I mean, you could say, "I'm very thirsty." You could say, "I'm very hungry." You say, "Really, no, I'm going to die." Dying of thirst, but it's not really dying of thirst. And over here, when Am Yisrael starts to speak in this way, now you realize that they're acting far more like Uncle Esav than we're comfortable with. And it's at that point that God says we need to do something in order for them to understand, which, by the way, I'm now going to say it again, what I hinted at before. Take the staff and don't use the staff. Don't use the strength. Don't use the hand. Use the words instead. Make this distinction very, very clear for them that it's the Kol Yaakov and not the Yadayim of Esav, which means, as the Ramban pointed out, everybody breaks their head trying to figure out why does God say take the staff if not to use it, unless the point is take the staff in order not to use it. In order not to use strength, even if it's the staff of God, you don't use that strength over here. We have words. We have the ability to speak. We can speak about God, and we can do all kinds of things. And I'm going to say it again. That, I think, is much more interesting. But when it says that Esav comes in from the field and he's very tired, Chazal understands something within this, which is perhaps a little bit more ominous. Look at source number 10. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Chamesh Averot Avar Oto Rasha Oto Yom, Ba Al Na'ara Mu'ursa, Vaharagat Nefesh, Vakafar Bi'ikar, Vakafar B'Tchiyat Metim, Vishatat B'Chora. That he was guilty of many sins on that day, including having relations with a woman who was engaged and murder, and denying basic beliefs, having denial of God. Because it says that he came in from the field. And so on. But by the way, now note this thing about the field. When Moshe said that we want to cross through your land, what was the term that was used? Pasuk Yud Zayin, Nabrana ba'artzachav lo na'avor bisadeh. We're not going to go into the sadeh. That Targum Yonatan that we saw saying, oh, we're not going to go through the field, he immediately identifies it with Esav type behavior. We're not going to do what Esav did, because Esav comes from the field old, tired, and now you realize that they're real. Again, I don't know how hard I have to work to convince you of this. There really is a subtext over here of the divide between Yaakov and Esav. And again, I'm going to point out the obvious, that immediately after the Mei Merivah, what happens next is that Edom comes in, which means they're actually, this whole story takes place with a not so far from Edom, and then I'll say it again. If I'm correct in what I'm thinking about geographically, then they're not all that far from water sources because of, and again, I'm just going to leave it at that. There are streams that are not that far from them. You need to send some scouts out to find them, but just the way that area is built, again, will depend what time of year. If this is the summer, or the early summer, right? Right? We're told when it is. The whole thing takes place over here. No, it's the springtime.
Goodness.
Right? It's the springtime. It's Nisan. It's the beginning of Nisan. I mean, it's been raining presumably all winter, and therefore all of the streams are filled with water, and all the water now is flowing down, and that's the time of year that there's just a great deal. I mean, the opposite is true. You can suddenly have this overwhelming flood take place during this time of year. Don't go and try to take pictures of those things. Those things can be quite dangerous. The sudden appearance of water in the desert is interesting, but they're there. And we're going to die. And we're going to die is out of Asa's. When Asa finally uses words, those are the words, I'm going to die. No, we're going to live. There's a much larger plan which is taking place. And again, that's why I'm pointing out that I think that all of this is just so much more interesting in terms of this this subtext which exists. Let's just take a look a little bit more. Right after this section, and this is source 15, this is the continuation, V'yasu mikadesh v'yavo b'nei Yisrael kol eda har har. And at this point, Aaron is going to die, and Aaron is going to be replaced. Maybe I'm forcing it, but part of the Yaakov Esav issue in history is the question of the replacement of who is going to be the Kohen, and part of what Esav rejects. I mean, this whole thing is the Yaakov says, sell to me the Bechorah. So what exactly is the implication of getting the Bechorah? So if you go back to source number 12, Yaakov Natan Esav Lechem Unazira Deshim Yechav V'yesh V'ekam V'yelech V'yivez Esav Et Bechorah. So what does that mean when it says that he rejects the Bechorah? So look at Rashi in source 16. V'yivez Esav, he ira katuv arishato shebize avodato shomakom. He did not want to be a Kohen. That's what the Bechorah meant. He did not want to be a Kohen. And we're in source number 17. V'yivez Bechorah, the Chizkuni writes, ad shelo nivchar aharon lakuna haya avodah bivchorot amar oto rasha ma'ani melachlech yadai v'korbanot. I'm going to get my hands all bloodied with Korbanot. And of course, you have to realize the irony of this verse is that we understand Esav as somebody, first of all, not we understand. He's a hunter. He gets himself, killing animals doesn't bother him. But killing animals for hunt is something he enjoys. Maybe even killing people, as we saw the Gemara said. But killing animals to serve God in the Mishkan, that he doesn't want. So therefore, the rejection of him as a Kohen. And I'll now add in the kohuna being passed on over here in the middle of this whole section from Aaron to his son is probably more interesting than I think we would have noted, but I do want to then continue on to the next section. So Aaron then will die. Again, we're still in source 15. And then source 19, which is right afterwards, the next chapter. V'yishma ha'kna'ani melech arad yoshev ha'negev ki ba Yisrael derech ha'atarim. So I have to add something in right now. Chazal tell us that this is not really the Kna'ani. That the Kna'ani over here, it's not Canaanites, but it's people who live in Canaan. And what troubles Chazal, because it says yoshev ha'negev. And we know who's Yoshev HaNegev. We heard that already back by the Meraglim. The people who are Yoshev HaNegev are, of course, Amalek. Amalek Yoshev HaNegev. So there are various commentaries about what's going on over here, including that Amalek was dressed up when they went to war. They were wearing other people's uniforms or whatever it is. But what Chazal tell us is that this confrontation that takes place right now is a confrontation with Amalek, which means if that's the case, then in this week's parasha we have a couple of wars, or I don't want to call it wars, skirmishes, or military tension. One is with Edom, and the other is with Amalek, and that, as again, is all the more interesting when we have our Kol Yaakov versus our Yadayim of Esav divide immediately before this, but it's even better. Because it says that they hear, Kiva Yisrael, Ve'elachem Yisrael, Vayeshp Mimenu Shevi. And they conquer, capture people, and they take prisoners. What's the response? Ve'yidor Yisrael neged Hashem, Ve'yomar, Im Naton Titena Ta'am HaZeh Biyadi, which means Vayishma Hashem b'kol Yisrael. So if my imagination kept on going back to this idea of the kol of Yaakov, the kol of Yisrael, the voice over here, so they make a neder, and they say, if God will be with us, then we're going to do so and so, and God accepts this, and then they are, in fact, successful. Vayisu mehara har derech yam suf, and then they got lisvov et eretz edom, v'tiktsar nefesh ha'am baderech, and then making this trip around, the people get upset. V'yidabera am be'elokim uv'moshe, lamay lutomim mitzrayim lamut b'midbar, and they're still back to this point, right? This time they blame God as well. Why did God? Now I guess they believe in God more, but enough to say, why did God take us out? And at this point, the nechashim come, the serpents come, and they bite them, and then the nechash and achoshet is used in order to stop them. So let's pause again. The phraseology over here, Vayador Yisrael neder l'Hashem, is reminiscent of the first time the word neder is used, which is back in source 20, Vayidar Yaakov neder lemor imi Hashem imadi ushmarani b'derech hazesh ani olech lechem lecho beged lubosh. As Yaakov is about to go off into his travels, he makes a neder that God should be with me. Over here, Am Yisrael, at this point, seems to identify properly with the kol of Yaakov, and they make this neder like Yaakov made, of God will be with us, and God will take care of us, and so on. And then it works. So I'm going to say it again, that there are various verses in this week's parsha which are just so closely correlated with things that Yaakov said and things that Yaakov did, which seems to really create this background for it. The other thing right now is about the Nachash coming. So if we can't avoid the Nachash, I will point out Source 13, which we spent a whole class on this a number of months ago. Source 13 is Perek Kaf Hei Pasuk Kaf Zayin. And this is the verse that's saying that Esav is a man of the field and Yaakov is a person who sits in the tents. But the translation here is Reviu Ulmaya. Now, whatever the word nechash yirchan means, I'm not going to nechash yirchan, because this is something which we had a whole class on a number of months ago on that term. The interesting thing about this is not what it says and not what it means, but rather the way certain people saw the word or thought it meant, which means there are even those who said that Esav had on his yerech, on his thigh, he had a tattoo of a nachash, that Esav identifies with the nachash, with the serpent, and therefore he even gets a tattoo of this. Look at source 14, the Tzioni, the Yetzei HaRishon Admoni, Sodo Muvan, Ki Asigodi Yitzchak, V'zeo Sod Reshet Gayim Amalek, V'amalek Shorish HaNachash HaKadmoni, Remez l'zeh katfu ha-mekubalim ke yayalo dmut nachash al yirecho. And as I said, this tradition that the Kabbalists say that Esav had a tattoo of a serpent is, and v'onkelus hager kivin hasod yodeya tzayid nach shirchan. And there are different ways of pronouncing that and different ways it's written in different terms. So this is really interesting, that when Am Yisrael used their kol to pray to God in a positive way, then what ends up happening is that God then protects them and saves them. But when they use their kol in a negative way, then suddenly the nachash comes, and that, as I said, is also this really interesting subtext in terms of the nachash and Esav. I mean, also going back, again, I don't want to do all of this again, but going back to the very beginning, the name Yaakov is connected to the nachash who goes after the ankles. From, you know, we see that in different, or the heel, it goes and bites and attacks the heel. So essentially, I guess the question really is, you know, who do we identify with, and who are we as individuals, and who do we identify with as a nation? Are we people who are able to identify with the Kol Yaakov, and therefore with the really this God consciousness and this understanding of accepting and the faith, Or is it that we identify with Esav? We're tired and we're hungry and we're thirsty and we're going to die, and you're set in this whole lack of faith. And therefore, this Memory vow that comes in is specifically said to take the staff, but not to use the staff, and then to use words, because that is exactly what the Kol Yaakov is supposed to do, is that you use the words in order to pray, you use the word in order to bring God consciousness, and that's precisely what the people need right now. When we don't end up acting or identifying with Yaakov in the proper way, so what happens afterwards is Esav comes out to meet us with a sword, which means maybe there are times that Esav can respect us, but they can only respect us when we have the Kol of Yaakov. When we know that we have the Kol of Yaakov, and we identify the Kol of Yaakov, we can be successful, which the next section comes in, even with Amalek. Amalek goes and captures us and is initially victorious, but then Vayidar. Then we make these vows like Yaakov did, and then we identify the Kol of Yaakov, we pray to God, and then that's where it gets responses. And now reading into all of this, we go back and we see what Moshe does. Vayishlach Malachim is the same thing as Yaakov. Vayishlach Malachim to Esav. There, as I said, Yaakov was conciliatory. Here, Moshe, no, tells over the Pesach Seder. We went to Egypt, we were slaves, got to go, which is essentially telling us, you know, we lived up the Bechora, we took the responsibilities, the Brit Ben Abtarim, we were the ones who were enslaved, we prayed to God, and God responded to us, and God takes care of us, and Esav's response is with, it's going with the sword, but there seems to be something which is weakened with us at that point, and that seems to be what takes place with the Meriva immediately before this. So again, all that I suggested today is that to reread this entire parasha, to reread this entire section, and to understand specifically what took place where, with the hitting of the rock, where the Ramban tells us, well, you're not going to get it if you just read the verses because there's something else which is taking place. I'm not going to be so presumptuous that I'm going to claim, yes, I know exactly what it is the Ramban was referring to, but I will say that I think that there is a path to understand this entire section, and that is to notice all the Yaakov Esav references in this parsha, and then ultimately getting to what is the division between Yaakov and Esav, and that is the hands of Esav and the words of Yaakov, the call of Yaakov. Call of Yaakov is the tefillot, and now you realize that Moshe and Aaron were supposed to say a tefillah over here in front of this rock and have the full call of Yaakov, but instead the Yadayim come and hit. I'm not even going to say it's the Yadayim of Esav, but I'm going to say the Yadayim is coming, and that seems to be not what God wanted to happen at this particular point. I just don't want to be remiss in my obligation today, and just add on that the shiur today, and all the shiurim this week, we're told, are responding to the fourth yahrzeit of Rabbi Chaim Eliezer Schurz, Chaim Eliezer ben Moshe, by the Schurz family of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and his daughter and son-in-law Sarah and Ronen Corey. So hopefully the words are that we learned today should be a ilui nishmato to Rabbi Schurz.